Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berger. We are alive. We've made it. We've survived the hurricane, and we are here on the WWE Unofficial Podcast to talk some SmackDown, trendsetter, and we have a lot to say. First and foremost, follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Going to give you 3 seconds to do so. 1, 2, 3, there you go. Let's get some followers and some subs to the YouTube channel. Hit like and subscribe on that as well. High Spot Podcast. You can listen to us on bodyslam.net and on the Shining Wizards Network. Trendsetter, I don't know whether you thought this show was good or bad, but man, I have a lot to say, and I'm going to give you the floor. The platform is yours of where you want to take this, because I know where I would like to take this, but I'm going to, you know, we have maybe a difference of opinion and where you would like to kick it off. So I'll give you the platform. I spoke too much on the AEW recap show. So, Trendsetter, the floor, your majesty, is yours.
Well, thanks a lot for giving me the floor on SmackDown Review after watching that episode. You know, to steal a quote from The Rock, Jeff, I would love to lay the smacketh down on the person that created that idea of that show. I mean, oh my goodness, what was I watching? Again, I'm not going to be one of those people that are so negative about it, but I really was scratching my head because, hey, we talked about AEW. It's like a variety show. You know, it has all these flavors, Baskin Robbins, all those analogies of the ability of choosing something you like. I just didn't know what direction anyone was going. It was like literally from one moment to the other, you blinked, you missed something because you have no idea where any transition went from a storyline to the match itself to where the ending was. The ending had me kind of scratching my head too. I was like, what is going on here? I mean, I've kind of seen this before, but you know, with no audience, it kind of loses its luster. And you know, we've talked about it before in the past about how the audience element has really been missing from everything we've watched from AEW to SmackDown. But my goodness, I need to start off with something that literally confused me uncontrollably, and I looked at it, and I even mentioned it to you when I saw it, and I was like, are we really going this route now, honestly? And hey, I'm not going to be one to say, listen, I understand I am no longer in that demographic. I am no longer the target audience anymore. But there's a certain point where I look at it, and I'm like, okay, well, even somebody who's 13 or 14 would probably think, not the fact that they're not going to believe this whole scenario between Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman that's been, you know, escalating itself to the point now where it should come to a conclusion at SummerSlam now, but from the story of the history they've had and the promos they've done to each other, and the last match that we saw them in that cinematic feature at the Swamp with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend coming out on top in the end, I'm like, really? I mean, Braun Strowman finally appeared. It's something that you and I debated last week. I was like, you know, don't. Do not show him, not even via satellite or on the screen. Do not show him. Wait till SummerSlam, it would be a better payoff. Maybe if there's an audience, it'd be a better payoff. But we finally saw Braun Strowman. But it wasn't the Braun Strowman we all knew.
Oh, no, no.
It is a different Braun Strowman. Basically, all the innocence and all the caringness has been wiped out of him. And we can thank The Fiend on that. So it really feels like Braun Strowman has now embraced his inner darkness. He goes out.
The monster.
He goes out. And what confused me the most, before we saw Braun Strowman, it seemed like they're doing a recreation of what happened last week, where The Fiend put the mandible claw on the beautiful, lovely, adorable, ever so... pick an adjective.
Ever so lovely.
An adjective, and you describe Alexa Bliss. And it looked like it was a continuation of it, because I did not see Alexa Bliss in the ring, but it looked like they just basically took the footage of SmackDown and then implemented a continuation of it maybe after what happened. And that's what it looked like to me. That's what it appeared to me. It's like they're showcasing what happened when the cameras went off, and then we saw Braun Strowman. So theoretically, it happened in the past, but it's in the present. It really confused me. And honestly, you know...
Hey, before we start, is it too early to give Alexa Bliss
No, I was going to say, you know, before I dive into any further and want to get your take on it, Jeff, let's take a moment, because unfortunately we were robbed of some Bliss this SmackDown show. And so let's take a moment to appreciate everything that is Alexa Bliss.
Boy, that was all right. Again, though, like, I still don't know whether it was something that was beforehand or if she was back in the ring again. They didn't really answer what happened with Nikki Cross. They didn't really touch that one because they ended up wanting to spend time focusing on somebody's hair, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But I mean, listen, the monster is out. Braun Strowman kind of has got The Fiend worried. See, I don't know if those are... I don't know if Braun's eyes, if he can, like, move them or anything like that.
Bray's eyes.
Bray's eyes, he can move them or not. But it just seemed like he was a little bit worried. A little bit like, oh, okay, you know, maybe he went a little too far with Braun, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens between The Fiend and Braun Strowman. And then we kind of insinuated that it was going to happen at SummerSlam, and it looks like it will happen at SummerSlam. We're going to get that match again, and still don't know the role Alexa Bliss will play in it. And then you heard Braun Strowman say that he could care less about Alexa Bliss, and like everything that you mentioned, Trendsetter, like, you didn't have to do that to be all heel, because he is intense. And what kind of Braun are we going to get at SummerSlam? Is this going to be the Braun that we're going to get moving forward? Is it not going to be the funny big man, but more like, you know, the monster among men that we've known for the longest time? And maybe we're going to get to see that kind of Braun Strowman.
Well, it looks like they're going for a different version of it, though. But I want to ask you this, Jeff. And the reason why early on, guys, when I was ranting a little bit in terms of, like, what am I watching, or we're really taking it to this point, there reaches a certain scenario, I feel, even watching wrestling, where, you know, a perfect example has always been The Undertaker and his supernatural abilities and things of that nature. But I always felt it towed a fine line from what was, even at that age when we were watching, what was believable and what was more realistic, in the terms of, you can logically understand, you know, it is a show, it is entertainment and things of that nature. Have they gone so far in the direction of making this really more, not just a wrestling match, but basically a match between, you know, evil now versus evil, as opposed to good versus evil? Do you think they've gone a little overboard in terms of the supernatural phenomenons that they can do?
No, they've done probably crazier stuff than this. I think it's just basically, you know, Braun being pushed to the limit, and basically this is what we get. I mean, there is mystery within that swamp, I guess, you know, and mystery toward Fiend and Bray and his many faces. But
I just think the story would have been good if we just knew, you know, we knew the back history between them, that they, you know, basically, yeah, Braun brought him in, molded him, helped him become the person he is today, and ultimately Braun owes Bray Wyatt a debt of gratitude for that. If it wasn't for him, who knows where Braun would be. I think that story to me was more intriguing as it was building up toward the swamp match. But then afterwards, it's kind of gone completely on the opposite direction now, where it seems like it's like we have the three faces of Bray Wyatt, as I call it, as we did, we always make the assumption of Mick Foley. Now we seem to have now another version of Braun. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's like, you know, everybody has an alter ego, everybody has this ability, but when you depend on that to defeat a certain person, individual, I mean, doesn't make you think, like, why couldn't Braun himself be able to defeat The Fiend?
Yeah, obviously, Trendsetter, this is really simple. You're making great points, but again, we're not that demo anymore. we're not that demo anymore for this. There is a demo now that it's not, it used to be about the ratings and getting everybody here, but now, as Jericho points, says he's the demo god, it's getting that interest from everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's that Baskin Robbins flavor that you said too. It's, you know, this
I go for the Baskin Robbins right now.
I could, man, especially after this heat.
Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah. Wow. Losing power in the middle of summer is not fun at all.
It is, and I just showed that I am just a weak link because I couldn't even survive a night. That's how bad it was. I was just a little...
Not once, but twice. We lost power twice. Yeah.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, man. And, like, we're thinking, oh, we can't do the show. That's the first thing we thought of, guys. We thought about you. We couldn't do the show. That was, that would have been so tragic. But I was like, oh, no, not again. We just put the coolers back and... here we get ice. And,
exactly.
And then I'm thinking about, oh, it's going to be another crappy night with no AC, sleeping in a pool of sweat. Oh my god! Like, oh my god, this hurricane was so bad. I mean, it was just
this whole summer has been terrible.
A bad week. Yeah, man,
bad year.
No idea. Bad 2020. I mean,
get out of here, 2020. Get out of here. We don't want you anymore.
Please leave. And a lot of stuff that happened on SmackDown today. We're just gonna say, hey, it's 2020. What can you do? But we're talking about the demographic again. Yeah, that's what it is. It's what it's all about now. You know, it's whether you like it or not. Hey, some person will. Some people get into this. But I am going to get into the fact that we're going to get Braun and Bray Wyatt again. So why not? Whether you want to believe in this thing, where does Alexa Bliss play in this? You know, we're going to find out at SummerSlam.
I guess for me it was more, were you sold on the whole Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman match at SummerSlam? And did this add any more intrigue to it? For me, not really. I thought it was kind of unnecessary. I think we've gone as far as we can with this supernatural paranormal activity. But hey, to each their own. I get it, Jeff. You're right. We're not the demographic anymore. You know, some people will enjoy it. We'll see it. There is some logic behind what they're trying to do here. But I'm thinking, hey, Braun and Bray Wyatt, that sells itself. And that's something to look forward to. But, you know, honestly, what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the Universal title is really not the focal point here right now as much as it's going to be for the Universal Championship. Yeah. There are other titles. There's the women's title. There's the tag team titles for the women. There's the Intercontinental title. A lot of other things that are more noticeable, more interesting to watch right now on SmackDown than the Universal Champion.
How about no AJ Styles on the show?
That was what upset me the most, honestly. That's what really got to me. Like, you don't even have your IC champion there. And I'm sure Daniel Bryan will go out and do a stupid little rant on Zoom of how, you know, well, if I was a fighting champion, I'd be there every week. All right, enough, Daniel. Go away.
Congratulations, though.
Yes, go away, though.
Congratulations, Daniel Bryan, on the birth of a
baby boy.
Baby boy. So congratulations on that.
Mm-hmm. He's already growing a beard as we speak.
So showing you love there, Daniel Bryan. Congratulations.
But what's disappointing?
How annoying is that? How annoying is Bray Wyatt's theme song?
Oh, it's music to my ears.
It is. Oh man, you said it last week. It's like. Is it like nails on a chalkboard, right?
Yeah, as I was dating myself.
What? And they do it sometimes during the matches too, right? Were they doing it where it was like it would go red and then they would play that during the match or no?
No, I think you're talking about what happened with him and Seth Rollins. It was red.
Yeah.
It was red the entire match. Similar to like when Kane first started wrestling, he would wrestle just in a red color.
There it goes. There's that song there. Oh man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
soothing to the ears. I could fall asleep to this. I really could.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh man, I probably needed something too. A couple nights ago, man.
This was probably the equivalent of how we felt during the blackout.
Oh,
when we lost
God.
Power. Oh. At night.
It's like when you're alone, it's like crickets going. I mean, wow. I mean, this is. It's tough too. You lose concentration to the segment because you're like, God damn, turn that down. I want to focus on what's going on. So,
exactly.
So I mean, like I said, it's not our demographic, but I mean, I am curious of Braun and Bray. And we're gonna play this to see how long you guys can take this as we talk about AJ Styles, because it was excruciating, trendsetter, not having the champ in action this week.
Man, the man, the champ that runs the camp, the house that AJ Styles was built was emptied, man. The man was not there. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little disappointing, but I guess, you know, at this stage he's getting up there in age, folks. You know, he's not a young spring chicken anymore. He needs some time off. Although, like I said, someone will complain about it.
Got to do that Twitch show.
Exactly.
You know? I got to play my video games, online gaming, all that.
What's that?
Got to talk to Gallows and Anderson. Got to make sure they're happy in Impact Wrestling. You know, gotta do all that stuff, man. Cause I run this house. Is that my worst, AJ?
It didn't sound like AJ. It sounded like somebody else.
Really, didn't sound like AJ.
No. It didn't. It sounded more like Matthew McConnell.
All right.
Is that a little bit of all right there?
Mm-hmm. Is that more? All right.
You don't mind to take a pause.
All right. What's your AJ? Can you do an AJ?
Dude. At this stage right now, my accent.
I know.
My accents are terrible. But you know.
Gallows Anderson or Impact Wrestling now.
All I want to say is that AJ's got a chip on his shoulder. It's our job to knock that chip off him.
Oh, I love it. That's good.
That's basic.
That's good, trendsetter. As we wind down the music there for Bray Wyatt, man. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, really? It was going on still?
Yeah.
But
we kind of blended into the rest of the thing. So we open up the show with Riddle versus Sheamus.
Mm.
And, you know, what can you say? I mean, tongue-tied here, but
speechless.
Sheamus kind of moved on from Jeff Hardy.
Yes, that was a positive.
It was. And then Matt Riddle. You open up the show with him. And it was a good match. Trent's had a really good match. And then Shorty G comes in, and of course, last week he wanted to kind of cash in on the King's ransom from Baron Corbin. Almost got the job done, but didn't. Fell short, no pun intended.
Oh boy, Jeff, don't go there, man.
Shorty G, I love you, bro. I love you. And then
famous Chad Gable. That's what his name is.
And then bad Chad Gable. And when you thought there was this glimmer of light, SmackDown fans, that they were going to finally treat bad Chad Gable with the respect that this guy deserves, because in AEW he would be a top guy, let that be said right now. No, he tries to attack Matt Riddle, and then Matt Riddle just gets the best of him on the outside, and then cost actually Sheamus the match by getting him DQ'd, so the win goes to Matt Riddle. It was a tough contest. Sheamus got cut up a little bit, but then after that, he gets thrown into the wolves, and then Sheamus just bro kicks the heck out of Shorty G. And that really upset Sheamus, man, because he was like, wait a minute. You're going to come and try to get your King's ransom at my expense for what Baron Corbin just did. And it set the tone that Sheamus is going to be looking for Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's interesting for the fact that we're finally past, it feels like, the whole Jeff Hardy-Sheamus scenario.
Oh, yeah, you would think.
You never know, right? Because they're still interacting with each other. But, I mean, first of all, it's exciting to see Matt Riddle now with these different types of, you know, people to work with. And then Sheamus is definitely a great test in terms of, you know, just like we did with Jeff Hardy. They had some pretty good, intriguing matches. So to put himself up there is good. But now this gives me the idea. It's like, well, what's going on here now? Baron Corbin and Sheamus interacting. Is there the likelihood now that we have Sheamus now turning in a different direction now? It's curious, but at the same time, I'm kind of interested to see where it leads right now. But again, it's all about this King's Ransom. I'm looking more forward to, hopefully, when all the dust is settled between this old storyline, Jeff, that Chad Gable himself has more ability. I could see Chad and Matt Riddle, dude, and that to me is money in terms of quality, in terms of
wrestle.
You know, give them 2-3 segments. They're gonna take a lot of time off your plate, and that's what you want. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most. From Sheamus and Baron Corbin, I mean, you know what they are. They're heaters. They're going to get that cheap heat. especially a guy like Baron Corbin, who's so good at it right now. You could say he's basically the MVP of SmackDown because he just gets that you just want him to lose. You want to beat him up. But, you know, I'm more interested in what goes on with Chad Gable and Matt Riddle for that King's Ransom, although it's leading to Riddle and Corbin to see Chad and Matt Riddle in the ring at the same time, an Olympic medalist, or, you know, not Olympic medalist, who's competing in the Olympics, to face up against Matt Riddle, who's known for his mixed martial arts background. That would be interesting for me to watch.
And then we get Sheamus looking for Baron Corbin and basically saying, hey, listen, you know, the next time that it happens, I'm going to come and I'm going to rearrange your face, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, kind of like, yeah, you better watch out. And then Baron Corbin was like, well, you're lucky that I'm fighting Jeff Hardy tonight, or else I would break your face. And then basically...
it's like high school.
Yeah, and basically, you know, the battle lines have been drawn on there, so Sheamus just is there thinking, all right, I got Baron Corbin here. He doesn't think I'm a threat, so I got to make an impression. And we get Jeff Hardy versus Baron Corbin. And there's some times where we were talking about Shorty G and Matt Riddle having good chemistry, and we think it's probably a good match. Well, here's a match where I just don't think there's any good chemistry at all between these two guys. And mercifully, Sheamus comes in and broke. And let me just tell you how you can write yourself into a corner here and make a simple mistake look really dumb. You have a guy coming off a rivalry with Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, right? And then the first thing that happens a couple weeks after the rivalry is over, you got Sheamus costing Baron Corbin a match by getting Jeff Hardy the win. Now, yeah, he broke, kicked the heck out of him and knocked him out and then continued the match and beat Baron Corbin, right? But you've got Sheamus actually helping Jeff Hardy out.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's so kind of weird. It's like, well, come on, guys. This is just sloppy writing. There's another way that we can do this. Maybe not book Jeff Hardy in this match, maybe. But trendsetter, the bloom is off this rose for Jeff Hardy's redemption tour. Because if he's getting bro-kicked in the middle of a match, and then no one cares about him at the end, right? And it's basically Sheamus getting retribution. Oh, trust me, retribution is going to be a key word tonight, my friends. You better believe it. So he gets retribution on King Corbin, and you don't hear anything about Jeff Hardy, although he got bro-kicked right back into rehab. I'm sorry about that. I just had to take that.
Ooh,
but,
man.
But, though, I mean, it just shows you that the bloom is off the rose to me for Jeff Hardy. So many things you can go here, trendsetter.
So many things you can go in terms of the rose. The writing, I don't feel that the rose ever bloomed in the Jeff Hardy storyline. We've seen this before, the whole redemption story. It's not new. It's been told time and time again, not just to Jeff Hardy, but you're right. Storyline. I mean, you could point to it being, you know, lazy story writing, but I think it's more of just like, just not really being conscious of what you're doing, basically, in the sense that, you know, we've seen this, and now all of a sudden you expect this. And this has always been my biggest gripe watching WWE programming for the last God knows how many years. You run the scenario where, yeah, well, you know, logic, putting logic in wrestling is never a good thing, but or a thing that's easily done.
Logic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you look at WWE and the programming and how they put things together, it's like you want us now to completely ignore what happened when they did so much effort to build in this whole Sheamus Jeff Hardy storyline. Yes, this whole storyline built up for so long to the point where we were tired of it, and now you want us to completely forget it ever existed and move on to something like this. And then, yeah, talk about a redemption story. Talk about, you know, Jeff Hardy getting a second chance. Nobody cared what happened to Jeff Hardy after he got bro-kicked. Everything moved over now to Baron Corbin and moved over to Sheamus. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, Jeff Hardy had his moment. He got redeemed, and now he can go back to catering. You know, I make that joke a lot, but it's kind of true now. It's because right now it seems like that's the main focus, And you know what? No offense to Jeff Hardy, but I like to see the focus be put on other people like a Chad Gable. Maybe like Sheamus and Baron Corbin in a different light, though. So that's something that's interesting. But at the same time, the whole logic, quote-unquote, of where the storyline is going and how you are projecting that on TV just makes me shake my head. I'm like, you're expecting us to forget everything you pushed down our throat up to close to a month and a half, and now we're going in this direction. Okay, we'll see what happens.
And there you go with that, because it is what it is. It's already been stated there. So I like, though, the direction now, because I think that rivalry with Sheamus is going nowhere in Jeff Hardy, and I think it's going to save Sheamus, because I like where he's at right now. I like this fresh start. I like him aggressive. And hopefully he needs some wins to back it up. And it started with a win over King Corbin tonight. And what I like to say is, Trendsetter, last week I mentioned that I said the storyline between Bray and Bray the Fiend, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, to where that went. I thought that was the best storyline. But, you know, with what happened this week, I kind of going to change my mind. I'm allowed to. But here's why. Because, Trendsetter, when I criticized the writing for the storyline between Sheamus, Jeff Hardy, we criticized the whole thing that happened today on SmackDown, and maybe criticized the whole Bray, Braun, and the Fiend angle, I'm going to give credit to who's ever doing this, Sasha Banks and Bayley, because for the longest time, Sasha did not have a title on her, so it was Bayley who had the upper hand as the manipulator. Mm-hmm. Bayley was the one that was, you know, kind of like, you know, using her stroke, using that she was a SmackDown Women's Champion as something hanging over Sasha, which it wasn't anything that was, you know, too obvious, but you could tell that because she had that title, she had some, you know, she had some claim to be the leader of that duo, right? But now that Sasha now has the same amount of gold as Bayley, now you're starting to see Sasha become the manipulator. You're starting to see her volunteering Bayley to do these matches. She's got a big matchup this Monday night against Asuka. If Asuka wins, she goes to SummerSlam to take on Sasha Banks again, so Asuka will get a rematch. But you see her putting in her in scenarios where a few months ago, it was Sasha the one being put in these situations, that Bayley was the one that was doing it. And it's that subtle hint that now that Sasha's got those two belts, she is just as, if not acting as the more superior member of the group. It's that small little thing that I noticed today, and kudos for the WWE for doing it, because it's going to plant the seed now, because now it's going to be a battle of ego. Who is the better champion? And to me, this right now, the way that this is being built up, and we were talking about before that, you know, do we want to see them split up because they're doing such a good job? But this trendsetter is the best storyline going in Raw or SmackDown.
Nah, to me, there's no question about that, Jeff. You're completely right there. This is the biggest thing, you know, and even during the conference call that they had in the middle of the ring with Stephanie, they have been the most dominant force in WWE. From Raw to SmackDown to NXT, they have been on every show. They are basically the focal point of every show. And before in the past, when we were worried about, oh, when are they going to turn on each other, it came to the point now where people like you and myself and a lot of other people were talking about the fact that, hey, maybe you don't want to break this up. Maybe you want this to continue as much as possible. Now others could say, oh, now you're burying the rest of the women's division because now it's going to be like the NWO. They're going to, well, not that many people in the group, but still you're going to be burying other people. But it just makes it better when it finally happens and these two implode. But you're right. It seems like it's going to be a battle of egos now. What happened before, the student has now become the teacher, and Sasha now has gotten the cojones to be like, you know what? What you did to me, now I'm going to do the exact same thing to you. So, yeah, it's subliminal messages right there. Planting the seed with your finger, as they say, because, you know, this is what we've been talking about. Will it happen? It looks like it eventually will, but when will it happen? So that's the thing that we're waiting for in terms of when will it happen. And, yeah, it's just great. It's great entertainment because you so badly want to see them get justification. Everyone get justification against them right now, and they keep winning. So it makes you want to watch further to see them be completely destroyed, which will hopefully happen down in the near future.
So they have this conference call with Stephanie, and Stephanie, of course, you know, who obviously has done her share of crazy things.
But the way
well.
She talks, you never know it, right?
Exactly. The way, like, how, you know, now we're getting good good old Stephanie here, and basically putting out there that more than likely it will be Asuka maybe facing Sasha Banks at SummerSlam, and then also there being a interpromotional battle royal to see who will get a chance to win the opportunity to take on Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam. So three brands will compete next week to see who will go on to SummerSlam. And we were talking about it on the AEW show. We were talking about maybe SummerSlam moving venues. Vince McMahon trying to get it to another location because they just desperately want away from the PC, and I get it, man. It's got that weird feel. AEW, they do it at Daily's Place in Jacksonville, and that has a better vibe to me than the PC. Maybe it's just because it's an open air a little bit, and it's just like got more of that arena feel. But they do a good job of having the wrestlers there, and they don't have the the plastic around there, or whatever, like that too. You know,
yeah, like the guarding, like
because it's open air, so you can have a little bit of a, more of a wrestling feel. So I don't think.
But you mentioned that last week, saying the biggest thing that will be one of the tests they're trying to do, seeing if they can get more of an audience besides the people who are training in the performance center, and they think that would be something that you said before. Vince, I'm sure, wants to be the first person to do that. You know, when you look at it, Dana White was the first person to actually put a sporting event out during this whole pandemic and pulled it off. And I think Vince wants to be the first person to be like, you know what? I not only want to do this, but I want to be the first ever – not first ever, but the first place to actually have fans in. And now NASCAR's done it. They've had people in the audience, but this will be a different type of feel in terms of people going to an event this way and practicing social distancing. You know, we know that for baseball, football, hockey, that is not the case in basketball. But in this case, WWE wants to be the first – first sporting/entertainment event to hold this.
Yeah.
And I think he's striving for it, but I think he's going to find a dead end in every direction he goes right now.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So kudos to the best storyline on Raw or SmackDown with Sasha and Bayley. They're just killing it. Continue to do it every week. But there's one thing about Sasha. Like when she talks, doesn't it feel like there's a little. I don't know. It's just weird when she talks a little bit. Do you get that or? That it's just a little bit like she's trying to project a little bit too much in her voice, or just.
Well, I think she's hamming it up, basically, is what I feel she's doing.
Yeah.
And doing a good job of that, too, in terms of hamming it up, because, for the longest time, when she started in NXT and came up to the main roster, a lot of people were backing her up more than Charlotte, more than Bayley, more than Becky. Mm-hmm. But then, due to injuries, due to her not being happy with certain situations, losing her smile, as people joke about, and wanting the best for it, the thing that irks me about Sasha to an extent, and it's not a lot of her faking it. It's really just that's the way she feels. She really feels she's that good, which is great. It's understandable. But then when she feels as if, the rules don't apply to her, that's where I have a problem with her. Because, listen, we've talked about it several times on the High Spot podcast, guys. When you sign a long-term deal and contract, you know what you're getting yourself into. And for people to say, they signed because they want to, exude change. They want change to happen. So how can they change if they're not there? Yes, but when you have so many forces against you, it doesn't work. Don't be bitter. Don't be, you know, pouting. You signed. You knew what you were getting into. Do your best to make that change happen. But when it doesn't, don't cry about it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't take your ball back home and
don't
run with it.
Don't be a quieter.
Exactly. Don't be a quiet. That's a great movement. Don't be a quieter. So that's what the thing. That's the thing with me with Sasha Banks, and she's using it to her advantage now because she knows that's the type of resentment I feel. And I use that word resentment the most fans have towards her, and she's using it to her benefit right now because she's doing, in my opinion, and she might be offended because I know she did an interview with Guerrilla Position where she was offended that she's doing the best work in her career. But this is the best work in your career because what you've done from this point on hasn't really mattered to what you're doing
this
now.
This is by far the best.
Yes.
And we get tag team action, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro beating up on Lucha House Party. This match was pretty good, actually. Listen, Cesaro is just a big-time player. Shinsuke, you know how I feel about him. Lucha House Party actually had a good showing here. They're obviously underused. If it was in another, I don't know, if it was another world, not WWE, they'd be probably a much better tag team than they are, just as well, just as the way they're promoted and stuff. So a good match, a good way to start off the Nakamura-Cesaro era. And, you know, it's wait and see what happens. It's to me, who is going to be that team? That's not going to be the New Day. We know that. Will it be the Usos if they come back? I don't know what the situation is on. I don't know who's injured, but somebody's injured. So who is going to be that tag team that is going to be able to get us interested in a feud with Nakamura and Cesaro? Who is it going to be? Right now, I can't think of that tag team.
I can't think of one off the top of my head either because that's just how depleted, in my opinion, the tag team division is not only on SmackDown but on Raw and in NXT to a degree as well because the focal point isn't that. And I think in the sense, especially when you talk about Raw, and I know we don't discuss Raw in the sense of breaking down the show, but if you have 3 hours of content, it'd be best to have developed tag teams to help take some of that time off your show so it's not as difficult to book for a three-hour show.
Isn't it funny? Vince is probably saying, like, oh, I've got nothing to put on Raw. You could put tag team matches on.
Yeah.
But you decide to either do tag team competitions or they're doing darts or bowling or swimming or that kind of garbage. And you don't actually put stuff in the ring where AEW is going to put on a tag team appreciation night and they've got tag teams up the wazoo. And at the end of the day, the formula to make stars, one of the formulas, is by putting tag teams out there.
Yeah, putting tag teams out there and showcasing them and putting them out there in terms of having storylines and scenarios where we, the audience, can be invested in because they can hold the foundation of whatever it is you're selling, whether it be a pay-per-view, whether it be a show, whether it be Raw or SmackDown or NXT. That's always been my strongest feeling. And more importantly, too, and I've said this a million times, it also helps develop individual stars because we put teams in there. And, you know, we heard all the news in the Twitter land when it was basically talking about Marty Jannetty, right? You look at the Rockers. Who's the Sean and who's the Marty of the group?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the debate when you see a good tag team. But I think right now, Jeff, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura find themselves in a very difficult no-win situation because, yes,
exactly.
They are the tag teams.
No
they
win.
Prove it. They defeated one of the dominant teams in WWE in the New Day. They're 8-time tag team champions, I believe. And now they have nobody to work with.
I would love for them to say find a way to say, hey, we broke up the New Day.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, right? Just to have, like, you know, when Owen Hart was like, I broke Steve Austin's neck. Like, yeah. We broke up the New Day, kind of, like, right?
Yeah.
It'd be cool. And speaking of the New Day, I guess Big E is finally going to, you know, the platform is his backstage with Kyle Braxton. And listen, Big E is going to be good on the mic. He's developed such a great skill on there. And it really, you could actually credit his time with the New Day. So, obviously, the reins have been taken away. He's got the blessing of Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. And now, what will his run be? Whether it will be a title run or whether it's going to be a, you know, semi-good run, we still don't know. But in my eyes, he's got everything going for him right now. He can wrestle. He can do a great promo. He's got the fans behind him. I think this run will end up great, and just wait and see. But I think it will be a very positive one when we look towards the end of the year. And boy, I cannot wait till the end of the year.
Yeah, the thing about Big E that's so intriguing about him is he exudes emotion from you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's doing an interview, like you said, whether he's in the ring wrestling, whether it's a tag team match or anything he's doing, he exudes some type of emotion. You laugh. You cry, you cringe, your anger, you clench your fist. All these things is what he does really well. Exactly. You get frustrated,
and
sad, and happy. But, you know, the best thing about Big E is that, you know, we've only seen
name,
a smart,
Big E.
Yeah, he's got E for a last name. Oh, was it Ignatius or something?
I love
but,
it.
But,
Chris Jericho.
I know, right? Again, it always comes back to Chris Jericho. But he has the ability right now. We only saw a small glimpse of his singles competition after he separated from Dolph Ziggler when he came from NXT, being a former NXT champion, and now has that platform opportunity. I think it'll be fine. The thing that I just don't, that kind of, I wouldn't say worries me, but I kind of shake my head. It's like, don't keep emphasizing the fact, oh, you've had the blessing of the New Day.
Oh, they're emphasizing it,
and
man.
They're emphasizing it up to you-know-what here. And
they don't want to make the New Day look bad.
Yeah.
They don't want to say, like, he's leaving for greener pastures. That's basically what it is, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like, it hurts him that, he's a man. He needs the blessing of his team to go.
He's not 40, though, but he's a man.
Yeah, he's a man. He's 40. But, he's the blessing of his teammates to go out and venture on his own. No, he's done everything he can do in the tag team division. Now it's time for him to find individual success. And that's not a slight on the New Day. That's just the way things are. Things don't last forever. Eventually, Jeff and I will no longer be doing the show down the road. It could be next week. And good things don't last forever.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. So, eventually
this could happen. This could end
And you know
any
what?
Week.
At the same time, I don't need Jeff's stinking blessing. I'll do what I want when I want to.
I don't need this guy's handshake, or I don't need his goodwill, or I don't need anything. I just need him to put the show out for Matt. That's all I need you.
That's all I need
to do. But and now we save the best for last, because these two segments, boy, how much time are we on here, Trendsetter? Because I don't think we have enough time to go about these things. Here's one thing. I give kudos to WWE again for trying to find rivalries with the females that don't include the SmackDown Women's Championship, because you have to build stories. That's great. That's what that's what you want to do. You want to have everyone involved, right? But no Naomi this week, no Lacey Evans, and we spend our time on freaking Mandy Rose's hair.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But kudos to the rivalry they're trying to make, although this is over hair. But I'm going to go with, what the hell are Miz and Morrison doing, man? I thought it was Miz TV, but I didn't know it was called the Dirt Sheet. I thought it was Miz TV, and it just John Morrison. But
the two are very similar.
The Dirt Sheet. Oh, very similar shows. Yeah. Oh man, but
the subtleties are really difficult.
What the hell are they doing?
Figure out.
I saw the Miz on somewhere when he was talking about his WrestleMania 27 run, and now he doesn't feel like he's the guy. And why is that? He doesn't know. And when you see segments like this, you can tell that he is nowhere near ever being that guy ever again. This is without a doubt the worst use of The Miz and John Morrison. And now listen, they're getting paid big money. He's doing that Cannonball show after Raw or whatever like that.
Have you ever seen it?
It's all right.
No, I've never watched it.
That's good. It's silly people hitting themselves in a big water thing, whatever like that. I mean, how could you not?
It's called a pool.
Yeah, a big pool, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what those are called? Okay, thanks for pointing that out to me. But
that's okay.
But, I mean, like, what's going on here? Like, there's so many wrong things here, Trendsetter. What's going on with The Miz and Morrison? That stupid... who's thinking about having a segment with Mandy Rose's hair? It was god-awful. You know, it's like someone like... That was just bad creative, where Vince was like, ha-ha-ha! That's great, pal! You know what I mean? Where that's sophomore humor, Trendsetter. And then Sonya Deville's promo was okay. And then you have Mandy Rose, with short hair. And then you've got... them kind of like egging on Otis and Tucker, and then they come out and clear the ring. But Trendsetter, this was just so wrong in so many ways. What are you doing?
What am I doing right now? I'm trying to figure out how I can talk about this without sounding like a broken record, because, I mean, you said it. It's nice to see that we're going in different directions in terms of trying to develop storylines where it's intriguing, you're involved, you're invested in. It's not always about the championship or the Money in the Bank contract, which, by the way, Otis is the Money in the Bank champion winner. You know, if you haven't known it by now, you probably never remember that he won Money in the Bank. But, yeah, this whole thing with Mandy and Sonya Deville is not head-scratching, but I'm like, okay, you're jealous of her, and now you want to ruin her life, and she ruined your life. Okay, where did this come from? Where did this happen? I guess I could figure that out. I guess that could make sense to me. But then it goes back to Miz and Morrison. I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, no offense to Miz. You know, the comments he made where he doesn't feel he's the man, I unfortunately feel that will always be with him, even during his run, because, you know, he'll always be looked at the guy from the real world. Mm-hmm. No matter what he does, what he accomplishes, and I give him a tremendous amount of respect of what he's done in the ring, which people say he's a joke.
Oh, his resume
he's
is
called
great.
A coward.
His resume is great,
but he'll always be known as a reality guy who became a wrestler. That's mm-hmm. it. Which is fine. And at the end of the day, you know, you don't have to be the man to show an impact in this industry. But the whole situation with Morrison still, to this day, baffles my mind. Now, again, you can put enough zeros on a check and it's okay. And you'll, hey, I'll tell me to walk on water or tell me to eat, you know, dog poo and I'll do it and I'll do it well. But this is what it basically is for me. And I don't know what it's like for the crew yourself watching. You
do
kind of expressed it.
Feel like
it's,
this,
it is just some waste of time. It really is
now,
to me.
Now, you don't know whose idea this was. Maybe Miz and Morrison are happy that they're contributing to these ideas. And, you know, I don't know what was that chant they were doing with the hair or whatever like that. But it was just like, man, what are they doing? What a waste. You're talking about, this. How about we have the Miz and Morrison be tag team legit contenders for Nakamura and Cesaro? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about even Heavy Machinery get in that tag team scene maybe? Let's see them do something with Nakamura and Cesaro. I'm just dumbfounded. What is going on, man? And then, of course, you got your typical heels as champions, right? And they're just becoming bullies and they're like joking around and whatever and they're silly. It's just so much stuff that is wrong. And listen, Sonya Deville did a good promo. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like it's psychotic where she's like, you know, like that kind of like, you know, psycho stuff. Was that a pretty good impression there?
Kind of in a way. Yeah. She's right. She kind of reminds me that she's going through a nervous breakdown like Victoria.
Yeah. And then you know why, Mandy? What it, like, okay, like that's good. But like, it's just, man, like that hair segment was so hard when it went like 3 minutes too long. Mm. And because, oh my God, it was just brutal, right? It was so brutal. Then that leads to a tag team match where it's going to be the Miz and Morrison against Heavy Machinery. Well, we get a tag team match out of this anyways. And Sonya Deville is there. Mandy Rose comes out, attacks Sonya Deville.
What do you think of Mandy with her short hair?
Very nice. Yeah. I mean, she's beautiful. I mean, she's, you know, we should have a Mandy Rose appreciation segment.
No, that's there, just for Alexa Bliss.
And so, like, you know, then you get the back and forth where, like, Mandy Rose jumps on Sonya. Then Sonya jumps on Mandy. Then it's rolling along, and it goes to the outside, and then they start, you know, arguing in the backstage area, and then the lights go out. And then the cherry on top of the Sunday trendsetter is this retribution crowd or these protesters or whatever you want to call them. And I saw them on Raw, and I was like, whoa, I can't really talk about this because it's not my deal.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. But heaven forbid they ever make it onto SmackDown, which they did. And I got to tell you, now, listen to this, trendsetter. It's almost 10 years to the date. So in July 10th, I believe, in 2010, we got the Nexus attacking John Cena, and they had that whole thing that got everybody talking, right? August, almost 10th, almost a month and 10 years to, you know, that we get this, and they try to, like, you know, wreak havoc on the PC. There's nobody there. They're trying to break down barriers, trying to bully the wrestlers, and it's going nowhere because these guys and gals are under 5'6" and couldn't intimidate anybody. They look more like protesters than did wrestlers, okay? And I don't know what is going to come of this, trendsetter, but this just has the wrong look to it, especially in the times that we are in right now. Mm-hmm. And also, because of all the looting and all the protests and all the violence going around,
and it just seems like it's tone deaf. And I saw some of these guys. I saw some of these people, you know, when they did close-ups. None of these guys look like they could draw a stick and two, you know, and stick figures. And you know what I mean when they were talking about drawing. So I don't know where this is going, but it just flat out sucks.
To me, it absolutely missed its mark in terms of the anticipation where, listen, they're trying things differently. They are trying something different. Whether that's good or bad, that's obviously up for debate. That's obviously our decision. You've given your take on it. My take is that you're right. During the situations that we're dealing with right now in the world, not just with the pandemic, but with the protesters and things of that nature, to put something like this out is either mocking it or either putting in a lighter situation. To me, like I said, I feel like it completely missed its mark. I think the factor of having no audience there obviously affected it too, because it just sounded corny. There really wasn't anything they could do. They're just banging and hitting the ring. They weren't doing as much damage as the Nexus did to John Cena when they destroyed and attacked staffers and things of that nature. Just to me, that's probably one of the biggest head scratchers, the retribution and the feeling that they're trying to do with SmackDown and Raw, that they're trying to make it feel as if it's back to the Monday Night Wars, where, wow, this was not scripted. This was not expected. We didn't think this was going to happen. This completely caught us off guard. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing with Pat McAfee and Adam Cole, we felt it was a work, and we were proven correct, and it was built up towards that, and they tried to bring some real life on it, and they've had it on ESPN, and people were talking about it. But again, it's like it just missed its mark, because it's like you don't have that same type of feeling. And it's hard to do that in an empty arena in the Performance Center to do that. So where it goes from here, I guess we'll find out next week. But to me, it's something completely just missed the mark. I don't know what's the purpose of it in terms of, like you said, you see those people there. And maybe it was the camera angle. Maybe it was too far away. But none of them looked menacing. None of them looked like, wow, look at the size of this individual. Or look at the, you know,
they
look
don't
the
like wrestlers.
Here.
They don't look like wrestlers.
And to me, it breaks the illusion of not only the suspense of can anything happen, or wow, was that really supposed to happen? Was that scripted? But ultimately, it's like, well, now it's just like you've completely lost me, and I've lost interest. And as soon as that happened, I honestly wanted to, you know, stop the show and just kind of turn off the TV. But I need to see the end of it. And yeah, nothing came of it. You know, they went to camera. They had a chainsaw in the middle of the ring. And that was it. And that was your show for SmackDown.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A real head-scratcher, in my opinion.
They basically have midgets running around with bats, and there's nothing intimidating about that. And here's Trendsetter. Here's my funny thing. Because it's a Vince McMahon creation, you see all the wrestlers scared. You see all the wrestlers running around, wondering, talking about retribution, right? Like, it's this big, scary thing. But if it were Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, underneath those masks, they would have an army waiting for them mm-hmm. to attack them. And that's the difference. And that's why they were better off never going to WWE and starting AEW, because it wasn't Vince's creation. And they would have found ways to use them as stepping stones for the other wrestlers, and they never would have given their big break. They would have been used to have other wrestlers squash them, and the best move they ever made was not... And listen, they were never going. I mean, it was so minimal, the chances of going. I don't believe that they were wooing Kenny, and Kenny had to make a tough choice. I think Kenny was all, it to him, it really didn't matter the money and everything. Yeah. I mean, he was always going to AEW, but... Come on now. I mean, these guys didn't even look like wrestlers. Now, the NWO, now that's a freaking faction. Bullet Club, that's a faction. DX, that's a faction. The Horsemen are a faction. But even the weirdest faction is better than this, man.
Yeah.
And the Nexus made a point by beating the top dog in John Cena. These guys just did nothing but ruin a ring in an empty arena.
They beat up an empty ring in an empty arena. That's all they did.
Don't
know how much of an impact that shows on TV or it shows to the audience watching it.
And not to mention the tone deafness of this whole going on with the society right now, where it's going,
where you probably see this on TV every day, and that's why we're probably desensitized about it when we're seeing it here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is something that it ended on a bad note. There were some good matches on here, but really the main thing about this show was that, like, you know, whether you didn't like the Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, and Braun Strowman, where it's going, and just the realness of it, you just absolutely get nothing from the whole Dirtsy segment with the Mandy Rose's hair segment, and you get nothing from what happened at the end of the night with Retribution. That is a two thumbs down on our part, and just like the Nexus, it will never reach its top potential because, you know what, it won't be given a chance to. And perception is reality, trendsetter, and what I saw, the first impression that I saw, thumbs down.
Yeah, that was the second and third impression as well.
So trendsetter, another week in the books. It's been a tough week, let's be honest.
It's been.
I cannot wait for this weekend. Hopefully it turns out better than the last. Hopefully it turns out better than this past week with the hurricane, mm-hmm. and just being in the city and the traffic and losing power and just, you know, just like not having time for anything. But we've had time to do the AEW recap show. So guys, we were a little late on that. Apologies, but Mother Nature remains undefeated. So we lost out to Mother Nature, and we, as soon as we got the juice back, we gave you our AEW podcast recap show. So, you know, that's in the archives for you guys, and we'll be back hopefully at our regular time next week. And of course, you can always catch us here on the HSP SmackDown Review on the unofficial WWE podcast. You can follow us on all our social media at iSpot Podcast. And you can follow us on YouTube, like and subscribe, High Spot Podcast. We're back, folks. We've relaunched and excited about the future for the show.
Yes, excited about the future for the show and excited for the future of what is going to be leading the end of summer, whether we're talking about SummerSlam or we talk about All Out.
It can only get better. It can only get better from here after this week's show.
You like to hope. Yeah. You like to hope so. But you know what? I'm going to wait until I see that light at the end of the tunnel, Bob. But, you know, ultimately, whatever the case might be, we will be back next week, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the HSP SmackDown Review. We appreciate every single member of the crew. And just remember, if you haven't noticed by now, and you haven't realized it either, then you're blind and living under a rock. Because we do this show. If it hasn't been proven during this whole blackout hurricane situation, we do it for one reason and one reason only. We do it for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Just give them what you want.